on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
We are the nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Good morning to you, Lagos, Nigeria. You're welcome to the last 1 hour of the show. It's Tuesday and it's public holiday still. 7 minutes past the hour. You can watch on Facebook and YouTube right now. We're there on those two platforms, YouTube, Facebook. Nigeria Info 99.3 is how you can join us on those two platforms. I'm Sherif Quadri. Nice to meet you and happy holidays to you. So we continue with our series covering our roads to 2023, trying to bring those vying for public offices closer to you, the electorate. And what we do basically is to make sure that we get them to dig into myriads of issues that we've got and try to test their knowledge of their understanding of the situation that they are vying to go and take over and trying to resolve. So this morning we continue on the series Roads to 2023. Feel free to gear up, sit back, relax, and let's interact with the presidential hopeful on the platform of the New Nigeria People's Party, NNPP, Victor Anilaju. He joins me live right now in the studio. Victor, good morning to you.
Good morning, Sherry.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Good morning, Nigerians. Good morning, Lagosians. Good morning, Nigeria Info. Thank you for having me.
We're going to dive in very straight. You're 40 years.
Yes, I'll be 40 November 9.
Are you high? Why do you want to be a president?
You're cracking me up on it.
I'm sorry.
I was not expecting you to ask me if I was high.
I'm sorry.
But come to think about it,
yeah,
40 is not really young.
No, it's not. It's not. I'm just kidding. So,
because sometimes it's like some of you make me look like 12 or 16. My brother, 40 good years. He's not being
so. No, it's not. It's not. It's not at all.
It's not.
It's not. But it's why not. Why did you decide to run for the office of the president?
Okay, I was born in Nigeria, 1982.
Okay.
I've lived all my life here in Nigeria. What was about 7, 6, 8, my dad was involved with those who started SDP. SDP started 1989.
Okay.
So as at 1983, 94, the former APC chairman John Odige
Oyegun, okay,
was running for the governorship in Edo State. Okay. So we mobilized ourselves within the community. Then I was about 10. I was about 10, 11.
You started politics at the age of 10.
10, 11. So within the
did you understand what politics was that time?
Yes. Yes, because my dad had always talked to us about leadership.
Okay.
Especially for me. Mm. And I got to know that's why he gave me that name, Victor.
Mm.
Yeah, because I was always that person that wanted to do the extra. Okay. And that person that wanted to see things working, even at home, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even in school, I was that person that wanted to speak for the class people,
right,
that just want to make sure that the school authority gets to know how we feel as students. So he was always there.
You've always been at the forefront.
Front, yeah. Mm. But not really in a rude way.
Okay.
But I always know how to get across to authorities, to talk to them, especially those who are older than me.
Right.
Right. So, and that way he was always telling me about leadership, what leadership was all about. And we campaigned for him and he won. Right, I think after then there was this military stuff that happened and the rest. And that took us to PDP.
Okay.
PDP started 1998-1999 in Edo State.
Okay.
Then from the experience we already had from SDP, we were among those who started PDP in Edo State, 1999-1998. And we won for Lucky Igbinedio at that time.
Okay.
And he came back the second time, we won for him. After then, I now went to the East,
okay,
at Anambra State Precise, to school.
Okay.
During that, my schooling also, Peter Obi was running for governor in Anambra State, okay. And I joined them also.
Okay.
And we won
because you've always been winning,
right? So and while I was still on campus, I also was leading a very massive youth group.
Mm-hmm.
It was a fellowship. It was one of the biggest fellowships at that time.
Okay.
Then Chasoludo was the central bank CBN, and they were planning the cashless policy.
Okay.
I was also engrafted into a team that brought up some ideas, okay, that we used to run the cashless policy as of today. So I can tell you that I'm one of the brain behind Nigeria cashless policy as of today.
Have you been in public office before?
No, I've always played the role of consulting and coming up with strategy. The team, I've always been on the team. I've always been that person that want to support, because I really don't believe that you need to have an office for you to be part of government. So as at that time, so I've always been a very good team player.
You are a young person. Yeah. You are a successful young person. As a matter of fact, I was going through your profile, and I see that you are into fintech.
Yeah.
And you are quite good at what you do, really.
Thank you.
You're also the convener of Make Nigeria Great.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question, because you're a young person. Do you think young people believe a young person can salvage this country?
Yes, they know. They believe. But the only difference here is that they think or they feel that the old cabal will not allow the young person to lead. Right?
So if a young person throws like yourself, you think that you would get the support of the other young people?
Sure. 100%. In fact, since I made my declaration immediately after the NSAS. NSAS ended October. I did my declaration in Abuja November 2020.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've gotten a lot of support, a lot of youth group, a lot of endorsement.
Wait, go back. You declared for the office of president in 2020.
Yeah, November 9th.
You were 38 then.
38 then, yeah. So, you know, and I've gotten a lot of support from the north, east, south, all over, even from diaspora and the rest.
Let's talk the real issues now. Let's start with insecurity. Okay. Nigeria is, I mean, the kind of insecurity situation that we have in this country is just, it's overwhelming. And you could see that in the way policymakers approach them. Virtually in all regions, you have one form of insecurity or another. How best would you suggest government at all levels tackle insecurity? The central, the states, the local, what would you say is the could be the best approach?
Number one, the government need to be sincere to the people. What Nigeria is facing now is internal insecurity. And for you to fight internal insecurity, you need the people to be on your side. So right now, the government is like they're standing on their own. The people are not really on the side of the government, because the people don't trust the government. Some people will even tell you some of these issues that is happening, they are make-believe. You understand? Some will tell you, okay, it is true. Maybe some persons need the government to listen to them.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And the government is refusing to listen to them. So they will have to do some things to get the government to listen to them. I will tell you, basically, our security problem is that we don't trust those that are leading us. And there is no way we can support you to fight. Nigerians are just watching to hear what you want to say. And we don't even know how to help you, how to support you. So the government needs to come out to be open, transparent, and be sincere with Nigerians and say the truth. Don't try to play games.
Do you think government is playing game? Do you think they're lying? What game? What game are they playing? What game? Let's give me like 2-3.
Okay. So let's see it like this. Let's start from how some of these persons emerge as as governors or as presidents or as senators, right? There were a lot of rigging, there were a lot of manipulation of results, right? And a lot of them give us a lot of promises. And today, they have not even kept one of such promises. I actually didn't come here today to speak a lot of grammar, but what I'm just trying to say is to speak the heart of the people. We don't trust the people leading us. And that is one of the weak link of the government. So because we don't trust them, even if we have information that will reveal these people causing the mayhem, we don't trust them enough to be able to manage those information.
Well, one of the reasons that experts have put forward as to why we have huge insecurity burden on our hands right now is unemployment we have. Huge unemployment burden. That we have. How do you think our youths can be put to work? How do you think we can meaningfully and gainfully engage our strength, which is, of course, our youths?
So we need to make working in Nigeria attractive. We have, as of today, Nigeria have, let's say, 12,000 doctors. From that 12,000, which is not up to 12,000, about 6,000 or 5,000 of them are outside the country. For every 5 doctors you see, 3 are planning to go outside the country to work. And you know that Nigeria, as we speak today, we need 66,000 doctors to be able to take care of close to 200 million people.
Right.
And we just have just 6,000 doctors. And even that 6,000, they don't work in a conducive environment. They are not well paid, they are not sure of their security. Right? So we need to make sure that anybody that is working in this country have benefits. And that's why, for me, we are introducing what we call the HELP agenda.
Okay.
And the HELP agenda is focus on helping Nigerians.
I'll come to you on the HELP agenda very, very quickly, but I still need us to talk some more about, I mean, you just mentioned doctors. There are other young people out there who are unemployed.
Yeah.
They've been to school, they're qualified, but they can't seem to get a job.
Okay.
And you're vying for the office of the president. And I'm not asking you as to what you would do. I'm just trying to I'm asking you, okay, like, what you think can be done. Right?
Okay.
Now, because we don't know,
okay,
if you or any other person will be the president, but then this is Project Nigeria. It's everybody's problem.
Okay, first, just like I said, we need to make working in Nigeria attractive in terms of the pay. As of today, an average our minimum wage is about 32,000, which is equivalent to about $55. That's what we earn as minimum wage in a month, in 31 days. In the US, you are being paid about $7 to $8 per hour. So in a day, you can make that $55 in a day, compared to what you make over 31 days in Nigeria. So that is not attractive. As of today, do you know that the immigration office have stopped giving international passport? Why? The reason is not because they don't have booklet. The reason is that the demand for Nigerians to leave the country is skyrocketing.
Well, the reason we know officially is because there are no booklets available.
That is not the reason, sir.
I'm just going to stick to the reason.
If federal government wants one booklet, I can supply them booklets. Right, so I'm giving you this, and they know 100%. They've been instructed not to give international passport because they demand to leave. Is it VSF? There's this agency that processes visa applications. And
right,
as at 2-3 years ago, they've received over 50 million applications. So that is officially, I'm not talking about those that pass it through Ghana, Cameroon, Libya, and all of that. But we need to make working in Nigeria attractive. Now, if we want to take it further,
how do you make it attractive?
First of all, you need to realize that the young Nigerians, they are tech driven. Okay, let me give you an example. Before now, you hardly will see a young guy doing this cab business. But with the event of Bolt and Uber, tech, you see, most young guys today, they use their Mercedes Benz, they use the BM, and they do the car business, right? So for us now, we have adopted a plan that we're going to launch an app for jobs. So you could learn any skill you want to learn, whether it's barbing, whether it's plumbing, whether it's painting. And you just enter your information into the app and you get requests at a go, right? The app is 100% ready, and very soon we are launching that app. And from that app, we could generate about close to 40 million jobs every year.
Every year?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's go to your help agenda. We're going to start with the age. Which is first in the help agenda, by the way. What does that stand for?
The H stands for first is hunger free nation, because we realize that about 3 million Nigerians die every year from hunger, and 75 to 70% of diseases have been is traceable to the issue of not eating well, not resting well. So we believe that as a nation, if we are able to handle the issue of food and feeding of our people, we'll be able to handle their healthcare, which is the next H, is healthcare. And from healthcare, you talk about housing. As of today, we have over 25 million housing deficit.
Okay.
In Lagos, we have close to 4 million people who are homeless in Lagos. So you find that in we have about 80 to 70 million Nigerians that don't have their own house.
Okay.
Or they're struggling to pay rent, or they're struggling to build a house. And then the last one is H is human rights.
Okay.
Now, on human rights, we know Nigerians will speak today, we are faced with great issues of human rights.
Okay.
We have a lot of cases that have not been to court. There are thousands of young Nigerians that are in jail right now because they've not sat over their case. So we actually need to work on that level. So we have hunger free nation, healthcare, housing, human rights for the age alone.
Now let me talk to you about healthcare.
You've
just said what you know, but you have not said what you're gonna do.
Okay, so for the healthcare now, we will try as much as we can to make our doctors to work in a conducive environment. We'll find that, that's the first thing.
Please hold that thought, Mr. Victor. Let's go to break. We need to take this quick break. We'll be back. Okay. Lagos, stay with us.
This is an infomercial. This is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Welcome back to the Crossfire Road to 2023, a series on the coverage of events leading up to the general elections in 2023 is what we are on right now. Tomorrow we have another presidential hopeful on the show tomorrow. I'll let you in on that much later on. But for right now, Victor Anilaje of the NNPP, presidential aspirant on the platform of the NNPP, New Nigeria People's Party, is right here in the studio with us. Mr. Victor, thank you again for coming through.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so we're talking about the things that you highlighted as part of your programs, and I wanted you to, you know, go deeper as to how you intend to bring solution to these areas, because frankly speaking, we were struggling in those areas.
Before I talk about the heads, the hunger free nation, we from our research we realized that our problem is not like actually we have food shortage. We don't have a proper distribution of food. So our challenge is not shortage, our challenge is distribution. So we have some parts of the country where they produce fruits and food and they just get rotten without anybody consuming them. Even in Lagos here, if you go to the marketplace, you find out at night a lot of people who brought stuff to the market to sell, and they are unable to sell because there are no warehouses to store them, they end up throwing them away. Even in our own individual houses, we trash a lot of food that is enough to feed millions of people. So we have a scheme, we have a program that will help to distribute food nationwide. And we also have a program to set up a platform where you can buy food directly from the farm. And so you will be paying very cheap price.
Who can buy food directly from the farm?
Anybody, any Nigerian can buy food from the farm.
Well, that's not novel. We already have that.
No.
We have farmers market almost everywhere.
Farmers markets is different from buying food directly from the farm.
Okay.
Yeah. So because
how is it different? No, I said different. Okay.
Yeah,
I
was different because we will help to regulate the price. So farmers market, any I can get the food from the farm and bring to farmers market and sell at my own outrageous price.
Why do you want to regulate
so that
farm produce?
Yeah, so that Nigerians can buy it. So that Nigerians can buy it. Like, if you don't know, we have over 40 million families in Nigeria. Families will mean family of between 5 and 7. And it will take you a minimum of 300,000 to take care of every family in a month. 60% of it, of that money, goes for house rent and the rest. About 30% of it goes for food and the rest. Like 10 just go for like cleaning, soap, detergent and the rest, right?
Yeah.
And what we propose to do is to have a direct purchase of basic foodstuff for each family every month.
Are you serious?
Yes. So we will make sure that every family over the 40 million Nigerian families are able to buy garri, rice made in Nigeria, beans, tomato, pepper, fruits.
You want to buy food for families?
Yes. And we'll put it on that platform, and each family can purchase at least once every month. Right? And immediately you purchase, it has to take you another 28 days for you to be able to buy again. So that way we can subsidize the price.
Let me come to you before I go to the telephone. Lagos is probably yearning to talk to you some more. I want to talk to you about crude oil, energy. How do you think we can? Okay, let's start with power first. Okay. Then we'll go to crude oil. Our energy situation is alarming and embarrassing.
Yeah, sure.
Where we have this huge population and we can't even afford to get our power generation up to 10,000 megawatts. It's been quite abysmal. Yeah. What are we getting wrong?
Okay, so from research, because for every sector we have done our research, and if you want to know, we have been doing our research for the past 10 years.
Okay.
So we spoke with one of the founders of NEPA.
Okay.
Yes, he graduated from Yaba Tech. He was flown abroad to Germany or France by Nigerian government. Okay. He's still alive. He's about 82 years as we speak today.
Okay.
And he gave us a narrative. He said, after the Russians installed our power system in Nigeria, they created a maintenance a system that the Nigeria ought to do to upgrade our power every five years.
Okay.
And guess what he told me? He said, for over 35 years, we never did that maintenance once.
Not one single upgrade.
Not one single upgrade. So what we are consuming today is what was installed when Nigeria was just about 50 to 60 million population. So one of the things we want to do is to bring back the people who installed our power from the beginning.
Okay.
So they're going to look into it and see what we can do to upgrade.
Well, what's your idea about decentralizing power generation?
Yes, that's another angle I'm going to.
Okay.
We cannot allow states to be able to generate power, especially solar power. We can allow states to have their own power plants, right? So that they also can boost power supply within their industrial area.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And we'll also introduce more of green energy in terms of maybe having each house in Nigeria being able to install like a mini solar panel and a solar system.
Okay.
So even if the national grid power is down, you can still have your solar.
How do you want to achieve that?
For you.
How do you want to achieve that?
The best way to achieve that is that we're going to set up a factory that will be producing most of this solar.
Why is your government setting up almost everything?
Yes, because
you're going to buy food, now you're going to set up solar manufacturing plants again.
Yes, because that's the way, because we have a focus for job creation. We have it because we want to make sure at least from that over 40 million families, at least two persons from each family have access to job.
Okay.
So with that, we could have people who are producing our solar panels here in Nigeria, producing our batteries, right? Producing what we need. Because we know that food, housing, and power supply, these three things, if we're able to take care of them, every other thing can work easily for us.
You don't think the private sector needs to be the major player in these three areas and not the central government?
Sure. So when we are saying sure, it's this. The government need to have a vision. Sir, your employer employed you here with a vision that they have, and they gave you instruction, this is where we want to be. We want to reach this number of persons. We want to be here. And your work and your responsibility is to make sure that you help them to achieve their vision. Right? So for every nation, the government must have a vision. And how you're going to go about it, you need private sector. You need public institution. You need the people. Nigeria problem today, I will tell you, sir, is basically we lack visionary leaders.
Let's not go there for now. Let me quickly go to Lagos and have them, you know, interact with you. If you're just joining us, you're welcome. Victor Anilaju of the NNPP is here. He's vying for the office of the president in 2023. You asked that we bring other people here apart from the major parties, and they're here. And feel free to interact, ask him questions, let him answer your questions. 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190 for the ladies only. Please do remember that this is not a platform to campaign. Campaign hasn't started yet. We're still having deep conversations here, not campaigning, all right? Thank you. And you've got a very limited time to ask your questions, by the way. Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning, Charlie.
Good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Victor.
Yeah, good morning, my brother.
Yeah, this Friday for intolerance.
You're welcome, my brother.
Yeah, Cherry, my question is to Victor. I want to ask you, if you eventually become the president, will you appoint any person who are holding a political position or the other before in Nigeria? As a minister, especially as a minister.
All right. Now, thank you, Friday. Let me help you restructure that. First is, please do not say if you eventually become a president. It's still a measure of campaigning. You can ask your questions without saying if you eventually become a president. But Victor, let me help him. He's trying to say that what is your position on people applying older politicians into political offices?
The truth about it is that we want...
Recycling politicians, yes.
Yeah. The truth about it is that we want to see a new Nigeria being born. And for a new Nigeria to be born, we need new set of people to handle the affairs of our government. I sincerely will want to work with some new persons that have good experience, that are competent, that have track records of what they have done within and outside the country.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be for years. It could be something you have done for a month, 1 year or two. Right, and he has to be some person that understands vision, because what I'm bringing on board is vision.
It's vision, that's all.
Yeah.
All right. Take another call. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, madam.
This is Joy calling.
Welcome, Joy.
You're welcome, Joy.
Will you continue paying this big salary that government collects all this our elite in power? Thank you.
Thank you. Now, she probably was referring to expensive style of governments that we have. The House of Assembly, the ministers having multiple aides, the councillors having multiple aides, the governors, aides that they don't usually need or make use of. You know, it's everything is over bloated. Our democracy is quite expensive. That's what she's saying.
Sure. But because during our search, we discovered that we are the second poorest nation, but we are the most expensive government. So we want to work on waste. Another of our major challenge is waste. We waste a lot of resources, we waste a lot of fun, waste a lot of capacity, human resources, financial. Even our oil, we are wasting them. We are not using them the way we are supposed to use them. With our numbers, there is no company that should not be in Nigeria. With our numbers, there is no country that should not be in Nigeria. We have more countries in South Africa that is just about 60 million people.
That's companies, are we?
Yes. Compared to Nigeria that is close to 200 million people. So with our numbers, there's no company that should not be in Nigeria. So we're going to streamline government expenses. We're going to make sure that whatever you are earning, you're working for it. There's not going to be excess payment. And there's not going to be giving a politician money to go and do a contract. No. No. Politicians don't have the that is not their responsibility. Their responsibility is to be able to work with vision.
Right.
And when they know that, okay, we have to build a 30,000 kilometer road, there will be a development bank that will be there to initiate it and construct it.
Right. Let's take a few more calls. Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Morning to you.
Morning.
Yeah, Shola is my name.
Welcome, Shola. Welcome.
Yeah, I want to contribute by asking the guests that we all know that cost of governance is a major problem in Nigeria. How is he going to address it if he's able to get there?
I think you just said that you're going to streamline it, right?
Yeah, sure.
Perhaps you want to go into how government can be streamlined.
Okay.
Are you laying people, or should the incoming government lay people off, or what could be done, really? Because trust me, we have a very bloated civil service.
Yeah, sure. So we even have different parastatals that are doing the same job.
Multiplicity of problems.
Do you understand? And you are paying them. Whereas there are sectors that you can channel these staff to. There are areas you can put them into. So that's why I said everything still falls back to vision. Like, you know, we have laid out about 12 visions, right? So with that, we'll be able to know that if you're working for health, everything under health is on one platform. Not like state is working on their health, local government is working on their health, federal government is why it ought not to be so. In fact, for me, the work of federal government should be more of for you to supervise and inspect.
Supervisory role.
Yes. You have to allow the state and the local government to work. And let me just even chip this in. We have to go back to our ward system. All our wards in Nigeria, we have over 9,000 wards. In Nigeria, we have 774 local government. Now, if all the wards today are working, Nigeria will work.
All right. I'm going to quickly go over to Catherine. Catherine, hi. Catherine is gone. Catherine, thank you. You can try me again, Catherine. Please do call again. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Mr. Victor, good morning.
Good morning, madam. God bless you.
From Ikorodu.
Welcome.
Yeah, our boring culture is just too bad. I don't know. What do you have in mind? How we can generate our own income instead of going to be boring and borrowing? That's my question.
Yeah, let's talk about borrowing as well.
Okay, so...
What's your opinion on borrowing? Do you think it's a bad thing?
Okay, there are other ways to get money. So, borrowing is... The government is looking for how to get money. But why are you borrowing for China? Why don't you ask them to come and invest? It's just like, I want to start up a business now.
Yeah.
And I tell you, Mr. Sheriff, this business will cost me 2 million naira. Can you bring me your 500,000 and you become a shareholder? And we will make profit, we share. But if there's loss, both of us will bear the loss. So I always want to ask, why are we not asking these nations to come and invest?
So for instance, if we have borrowed to build railway now, so China, for instance, that we perhaps borrow the money from, should be a part owner of the railway line.
Yes, that's investment. And you know why?
Why?
They will make sure it works. they will not come and give you over bloated bill to maintain it. Because sometimes, I want to say, Nigeria is one of the simple countries to run. It will shock you to know. But a lot of people say, no, do you know what you are talking about? I know what I'm talking about, sir. I know what I'm talking about. Turn the table and let them know that this time we are not borrowing, we are looking for investors. Mm. And there are people who are willing to invest. And immediately they invest, they will protect, not just protect, they will promote the investment and they will be part of the investment. Mm. So that's why you find that immediately you borrow money from them to set up a business,
right,
immediately you are done paying, mm-hmm, they pack their bag and everything and they leave you. And you cannot even keep the business running. But if they are co-owners, as they invest, they will do everything within their capacity. They will even give you more power. Mm. They will supply you manpower to make sure it works.
So in other words, you're saying that Nigeria as a country doesn't have capacity to protect her investments, or what are you saying? Like, we don't have human and material resources to protect this investment, this infrastructure. We can't do it on our own.
We do. We have it, but we are not making use of it. So when I say we have it, is you're coming to set up a factory for us, right? Mm. Nigerians should be part of the setting up, so that we understand what exactly it's on ground.
Skills transfer. I get that part. But you made a statement earlier that said that once they are done, they would go instead of us to find a way to keep them here. And I'm wondering, why do you think a government should retain a foreign entity, even if they are your lenders, to supervise and monitor infrastructure in your country?
Because they have their own interests in that particular sector where they have been able to invest into. And don't forget, you cannot know everything. You need expatriates. Right, we know that the Western world are more advanced in terms of technology. So no matter how you're going to say, there are new discoveries. As we speak right now, they are trained and move with the same strength of light, speed of light. Right, and Nigeria was still trying to run a trade that is running a trade that they used in America over 1800 years ago. Right, so I don't want us to go into that right now. Let's just get things working first.
Okay,
once things are working, Nigerians will grow, our children will grow up and now know how to start producing trade, how to start producing devices, how to start. Because what I'm saying is that we need to open our economy for foreign investors to come in, not foreign borrowers. No.
Investors to come in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And own part of that infrastructure.
Yes. Okay. Yes. And grow it. You talk about country like Dubai, for example. That's what they are doing. What they just do in Dubai, just make the place friendly for people to come in and set up their businesses. And today,
you know, but you remember that setting up businesses is different from setting up government infrastructure, because that's what you said earlier. But you know what, let's go and take it, because we are fast running out of time. Time really never a friend on this show. Good morning to you.
Hello, Mr. Sherif. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you.
Hello.
We can hear you, sir. Good morning.
Yeah, first time caller. My name is Genesis, calling from Ekoroju.
You're welcome.
Okay, please let me ask again. How is it going to, to handle the issue of ASU and the federal government, and again the issue of ethnicity in Nigeria, and to handle such things if eventually he becomes the president?
Let's not go into him becoming the president. This is not a platform for campaign. All right, but let's talk education. What are we getting wrong with our education in Nigeria?
Our governments, our politicians are not transparent. They are not being sincere. The lecturers are seeing them every day spending billions of naira. And they are asking you for just about 250 billion naira. And you are saying no. And you are spending billions. You said you are going to spend 3 trillion for fuel subsidy. And you cannot give the ASU members the 250 billion they are asking for. To me, it's not fair. The lecturers are not fools. They cannot sit down here and see you are just a governor between 2 years. You are now a billionaire. That me that have been lecturing for over 25 years. I can't even show myself. I have like 2 million naira in my account. See, sir, I will tell you the truth. The day we start having leaders that are sincere, Nigerians know how to understand. Nigerians are understanding people. They are good people. If they know that what you are saying is the truth, right? If ASU are sure today that Nigeria don't have that money,
right,
I tell you they will go back to work. But because they know that we have the money, the politicians don't want to give them that money, but they rather will spend that money in election.
Right.
So they are trying to get their money before these people leave office. Don't forget, this is the last year before they will leave office. So every civil servant, they are working very hard to make sure that they get their pay before the people in government now leaves office.
Big time, Elijah.
The next person that will be coming might tell you that I'm not the one owing you. I'm not the one owing you. So thank you so much.
We have to go now.
Thank you.
We want to wish you best of luck in your endeavor.
Thank you so much. I'm happy
thank you.
That you have me here today.
Thank you for coming around.
Thank you, Lagos, for listening.
We'll take this short break, bring you some messages, and we'll be right back. Stay here.
Financially, do you want to make passive income to build houses, children education, and retire wealthy? Then you need to join Cash FX Group and enjoy free daily webinar and live seminar at 4th Floor Police Star Building, Mara Bus Stop, Lekki, every Monday to learn how you can earn money daily and achieve financial freedom, leveraging the largest financial market without referral or sale of physical products. To participate, WhatsApp Money to 0703-728-4162. That is WhatsApp Money to 0703-728-4162. And that's 0703-728-4162.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We'll be right back.
Hey, so here's a quick riddle. It's your deals plug, and as usual, I've got the most fantastic information on the market, and it's tailor-made just for you. What is better than one Nokia mobile phone? Well, two, of course. Fantastic stuff. There's one amazing thing that's going down. Is the buy one, get one free Nokia phone promotion. If you're thinking of buying that Nokia phone you love, that you trust, and that you definitely want to keep, it's now. So buy the Nokia C30 in either the 3 by 32 gig or 3 and gig by 64 gig variants and get a free Nokia 105 Africa edition to go. The Nokia C30 is a smartphone to love with its big, bold and beautiful display. Talk about a 6.82-inch display screen. Also comes with a 6000 mAh battery that can give you up to 3 days battery life. It also has a fingerprint sensor for your security, a 13MP dual camera at the rear and 5MP camera at the front. So if you're thinking of gifting someone a mobile phone, get a Nokia phone. Or better yet, get the Nokia C30 and pocket the free 105 Africa edition that comes with it. Get the Nokia C30 now and hurry.
The Samsung Care Plus. Will be the end to all your screen wahala. With cheekily 9,000 Naira. Just 9,000 Naira. You will begin tranga anyhow. As one you know the again, because of the complete care service. Wait there on top of your new A-Series. We guarantee accidental screen repair. Plus fast and easy access to original Samsung parts. And Samsung certified repair service. Just register your A-Series for inside the first month. We buy and make you for enjoy up to 12 months damage protection. Or yeah, register today for www.samsungcareplus.com/AFR.
Ni ShopRite, awa fun yin ni gbogbo igba, a si ma fi iwuri wa pelu yin lati wa ni arowo to yin lati ko Ramadan yi. E sawari gbogbo nkan ti e bi yin nilo bi. Ori die die meji ni 1,382 ati kobo kan to ni kilo kan. Ororo isebe ti power oni lita meta ni 1,500 ni kobo kan. Adura wa ni ko ja si osu afomo si emi otun to si ni ere ninu. ShopRite, idiyele ti o se fi okan tan ni gbogbo igba. Ifilele yi nbe titi ojo kejo osu karun odun 2022.
There are three people whose calls I won't miss for the world. My mom.
How are my grandbabies?
My wife.
Babe, I have gifts.
And finally, Dilly, my guy, who works at ARM. Ah, I can't.